Good morning. I'd like to call the conference committee on the operating budget for appropriation bill, House Bill 2001, meeting number two together. Today is, or for the FY16 operating budget, today is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2015. The time is 8:52 a.m. Our members present in the Senate, we have Senator Pete Kelly, Vice Chair, Member Senator Anna McKinnon, and Donald Olson. In the House, we have Co-Chair of Finance, Steve Thompson, Les Guerra, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Mark Newman. Today's agenda, the Affirmative Powers Free Conference we have been granted by both the House and the Senate. Today we'll be addressing open items number 1, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 15 based on the motion sheets distributed to members and dated June 12th. Again, the motion sheets are these longer spreadsheets that were put forward. Senator Kelly?
I move that the committee adopt.
I move that the committee adopt the following. Item 1, House. Item 6, House. Item 7, House. Item 8, House. Item 9, House. Item 10, House. Item 11, House. Item 12, House. And item 15, House.
And I will object for purposes of discussion. And I will go back and reiterate, just for members of the audience and others, of what those action items are. Specifically, number 1 was the K-12 based student allocation. $16,500,000, which funds the BSA at $5,880. Number 6 was the early learning plus parents as teachers for $700,000. Number 7 was the pre-K grants for $2 million. 8 was Office of Children's Services for $2,500,000. 9 was seniors benefits for $2,800,000. Number 10 was the Alaska Marine Highway System for $1,750,000. Number 12 was Public Radio for $250,000. And number 11 was the University of Alaska for $5 million for a total of $15 million. So what in number 15 was, there was some additional federal funds available because of the $2,500,000 for OCS for frontline social workers to, for some federal match money of $681,700 additional funds of federal money. And so basically that amounts to the $15 million in total of outside funding plus the $16.5 million for the BSA. Members, if you want to speak on your microphones, you have to push a button just like the ones down in Juneau. Discussion? Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The problem with coming out here in public is you want to make sure you do things in a way that doesn't blame anybody and, you know, try and keep it as common as possible. And everybody else will and move forward. The one thing that's missing out of here, though, is an agreement among the House Republicans, Democrats, and Independents all together was that we honor written, negotiated wage agreements. That's not in there.
And to me, it's like moving the goalpost backwards. We had a deal. I understand it was not with the Senate, and that's fair to say. But at least across party lines, we had a deal in the House. It was a deal before any pink slips went out. It was a deal that we felt if we could agree across party lines, we should have had a budget. I understand that we don't. I understand the Senate is a separate body. It involved a lot of give and take on both sides, a huge amount of give and take. You know, but I feel a little bit like somebody goes in and they negotiate a house for $300,000. Only the wife is there, and she says, yes, we'll sell it to you for $300,000. and 3 days later the husband comes in and says, it's now 350. And I feel that's where we are right now. My understanding of the logic here is that the Senate wants to save additional money, and I get that. And I've been frustrated that a lot of the savings that we've proposed to try and save more money have all been voted down. I think there's smarter ways to save money than not honoring a wage agreement that was 1%, 1%, 2.5%, which in total for those 3 years stays behind inflation. It's taken away the 1 year that's not behind inflation from people who work for a living. So they don't get what they agreed to. And I can't help but avoid the contrast that oil companies get $600 million more than they're promised under our statutes. And I just want to try and discuss that one more time to see if that's a way to save money.
Yeah, we'll try and limit to discussion of the agenda items in front of us. I'm going to try and keep a little bit tighter. And please, when you say they or the Senate, right. Mentioning others and maybe what they say or feel, so if you keep your comments as to what you think. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Chair. I just think that we could easily save $50, $100 million, $200 million by slowing down the payment of what is now an overpayment of oil tax credits. I know we're allowed to do that. I just don't think we should in tight times. When the statute limits them to $91 million, we're allowed to appropriate more if we want, but they're the only ones that get a great deal out of this, more than what the statute provides. Everybody else gets less. We agreed to this education number. I appreciate that it's still in the Senate, but that was heartburn for our caucus. We believe that also the $32 million that was in last year's statute should have been put in. But a compromise is a compromise, and we made one with the House. But that was also promised money. And we understand there was back and forth, and that's how you reach an agreement, and we did it in the House. There were things House Republicans didn't like, there were things House Democrats didn't like, and our independent member didn't like. And we made that agreement on Friday. I stand by that agreement. It doesn't have everything I like, or even close to everything I like. It was a tough compromise for all of us, but we would have been done days ago before anything slips went out. And I don't like this march towards who knows what day this gets done. So I hope we can work together. But moving the goalpost backwards is not the way to get this done. So obviously, I've agreed to these items, so these are items I'm not going to object to, but there's also the matter of the goalpost that was moved backwards, and that's a big problem. So happy to keep working with people.
Senator Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick walk through history, and I think Representative Guerra was doing a little bit of that. I just remind people that the contracts that we're talking about, pay raises, they're actually a COLA adjustment. That is law now. It went to the governor, and he vetoed a number of things out of the operating budget, but he did not veto the language on pay raises. And so that sits as law. And that language survived both bodies. And as far as working across party lines, in the Senate, and I think in the House, the majority has a number of Democrats in the majority, and they negotiated across party lines, and they came to an agreement. And in the Senate, we have a Democrat in our majority, but we also have a Democrat on finance, and those agreements were negotiated and talked about and discussed all out in the open, and they survived votes from both bodies. They survived the 90-day process that is laid out in our Constitution. And so this is what we've come up with across party lines, across across bodies. And not only that, the Constitution, or excuse me, the statutes require that these contracts have language in them that are subject to appropriation by the legislature. So we have followed precisely what is allowed in these contracts. And we did it by negotiating across party lines through the constitutional process, and we've come to this point. And what we've come to, out in the open, not through these backroom discussions, and I didn't mean that disparagingly, through discussions that are not out in the open, negotiations. Those are all interesting and necessary, but what we do in public through the committee process. And what we are doing right now is giving money to education, giving money to social workers, giving money to the university, on and on. We started from the Senate's perspective at an $860 million cut from our criteria of ledge finance. We have different numbers, actually higher numbers. We started about $860 million. We came down $50 million from that in our negotiations with the House. And here we are with an offer of an additional $31 million. All of this is being done out in the open. And what has become obvious here is this is a discussion between giving pay raises at a time when we have an $8 billion debt tsunami coming at us over the next 2 years. Ma'am, I'm going to ask you to stop doing that, all right? Stop making faces in this country. Thank you. There's an $8 billion debt tsunami coming at us, but we don't have any business making pay raises in that environment. And so that's the disagreement here. Do we give pay raises when we have an $8 billion deficit coming at us, or do we do the responsible thing? And with the money that we have left, do we distribute it to the people of Alaska in the most distributive way, which is through education? The Senate's position, the House majority, the Senate majority, the House majority, our position is it is far more responsible, it is far more beneficial to Alaskans to be giving money to education, social workers, the university, and not to these pay raises.
Mr. Chairman, are we discussing item three, or are we discussing the items that we have just talked about?
Just items number, it's on the items one, six,
yeah.
One, which is the base to the allocation.
But we're discussing item three right now.
Correct. Let's pray a little bit there, but we can keep to the items we're at. Further discussion? Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you for working hard in advocating for the House's position as it was brought forward to the conference committee. I'm elected by a group of people out of a conservative community who believes that we need to take a hard look in these tough fiscal times at right-sizing government. But I'm elected by those folks with the trust to represent all of Alaska. And my co-chairman spoke to the huge deficit, a tsunami that we're facing and that we believe that we will live through together, not pointing fingers at each other about right or wrong, but trying to come up with a solution together. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chair, this is a compromise. The Senate has said everything was on the table. In fact, the Senate planted $16.1 million outside of the BSA for education to widen the goalposts. So I don't support the characterization that the Senate brought less to the table or moved the goalpost inside. We actually planted it outside. So let's be clear. We said when we rolled it out that we were heading for conference committee at the Senate Finance. It hasn't been characterized as that in the news, but the Senate offered $16.1 million of additional spending in a range. And we propose to accept, with the support of our caucus, $31 million of new spend in a time that we're drawing all of it from savings. This is a compromise, and every single one of the spending dollar issues that were put out by the House is on the table, and the Senate is willing to accept. At least that's how I understand it. Mr. Chairman, can you confirm $15 million of new spending and all the individual requests are here?
Yes, Madam Chair. Senator McKinnon, the $15 million in outside funding is here, but I'd also like to note that I feel that the offer was also laid out there that the $15 million could also go anywhere that the minority or others would want to spend it. They could put $15 million on more education funding outside the formula. They could put that into 16 and 17 and split that money. They could put that $15 million, I think the offer was to put it anywhere that they see fit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would concur that that's my understanding, that the Senate has stepped up, and the $15 million of additional spending in different areas that are very important to our state are on the table for the minority and the majority inside the House to allocate where they see fit. The reason I bring it up, Mr. Chairman, is that it was also characterized that this was about spending. Spending is very important, as I said, right-sizing government to the Senate, and I certainly don't want to drag anyone along with speaking inappropriately for them, but it really was about getting our house in order and making sure that the people that we have working for us receive the benefits that we've promised them and that we can sustain those. And the problem that the Senate is facing, and I'll speak for myself, is that it's hard in a time of, and I'm wandering with all respect to an issue that's not before us, but it's hard for us to take additional reoccurring spending. That's the issue for us. That's why the Senate planted $6.1 million for education outside the foundation formula, because we wanted to make sure everyone was involved in right-sizing government, with education being the Senate's highest priority. But really, it's about jobs. The people that will, from my perspective, that will get laid off should we increase spending, it are going to be the new families, the younger families, not necessarily those that have been with the state for 10 or 20 years, and some of those positions may be on the table too. Mr. Chairman, the Senate is compromising. The Senate has tried to accommodate the agreement that was reached in the House, but the Senate has some things that we would like to negotiate. And as the co-chairman of Finance and the Senate has stated, we wanted to do it in front of the general public so that it wouldn't be hearsay whether the Senate was willing to compromise. We all agree education is our highest priority, but with education taking $1.3 billion and health and social services taking $1.3 billion, if they're held totally harmless, the rest of the state is picking up all of those cuts. And so you look at some departments that are taking up 30% cuts inside of their departments. And so it's not about our highest priority, because there's not a single legislator that doesn't believe education and taking care of people in health and social services is high priority. It's about the money available to the state of Alaska to do that. And I appreciate the good faith that the House minority has come forward with. I appreciate the House majority advocating for those positions. And we just wanted to make sure it was done inside of the view of the public so that you could see the Senate moving. We're here to talk about reconciliation and putting a budget forward that is fully funded. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Kelly, you had a comment.
On that $15 million, as you said, they could spend it any way they wanted to. It was within the context of what's on the table in conference committee. And I think a lot of people don't understand what, in conference committee, you are limited to the topics at hand. You can't go pull something out from somewhere else. And it was with the caveat that it has to be distributed within that group and not for pay raises.
Further clarification. Thank you. Further comment from the other members? Thank you.
I would like to address something very briefly.
Representative Garrett, briefly.
Thanks, Chair. This isn't about spending. And certainly, the public should understand that we can go outside the confines of this by waiving what's called Uniform Rule 42B and address other items. It's not about spending. And I hope as we move forward, some of the $250 million worth of budget savings and spending cuts that we have proposed in our caucus can be considered if we're going to change the deal. And I'll just say so I don't have to say it before the vote on this. You know, if I vote yes on this, it's not yes on the deal that's being proposed. And the open items right now are the wage agreements, right? Is that one of the open items? And it's, by voting yes on these items, it's not my support for the open item, which is the wage agreement, right? This doesn't go straight.
But then, Gary, right now, what is offered is a compromise from the compromise committee. What's in front of the conference committee right now is an offer that we looked at to accept the items that we have right now, and that's where we're at today. And if those were accepted, we could close the conference committee.
So a yes vote would close the conference committee, Mr. Chair?
Yes vote would be accepting these to close the conference committee.
I can't do that, Mr. Chair.
Well, we'll probably put these out there, Representative Garrett. I think my intent right now is to put these out there. You can go back and discuss them with the rest of your caucus, and we'll probably come back and, you know, if there's a decision made to accept this or to move forward to further compromises, then we'll continue on with the conference committee. But right now, I wanted to make sure that the public was aware it was out there for discussion, and so we'll put these out there, and then we'll go back and talk them with our individual caucuses, and we'll probably come back before a decision is made, so we wouldn't be closing out conference today. Right now, again, my plan is to just recess after this discussion is done.
Mr. Chairman.
So we are just talking about accepting items 1, 6, 7, 8, 9, those. The other items that are still on here, we have to come back and address. Is that not correct?
Representative Thompson, they may be addressed one way or another. Yes, whether they accept them or not accept them.
I think they have to be addressed with a motion. I'm not sure, but I think they have to be addressed with some kind of motion.
Correct. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make sure we aren't bypassing those because a deal was made. We did compromise for 30 days, many hours, many nights, 7 days a week. I haven't been home in over a month. When we come up with this compromise agreement, I felt like it was a handshake saying, yes, okay, we're there. I've never been one to go back on my word, and I don't see how I can. That's all I have is my word. So I want to make sure that we're going to address other items on here because they mean something. So thank you.
Yep, we'll put these out here today, and then we'll go to recess, and we'll continue discussions.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilson.
Just a clarification. You're not planning on having a vote on this this morning?
No.
Not even today. So we can discuss it afterwards?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator McKinnon.
Did I hear that we just are moving things now the deal is not the deal? I just wanted, that's the whole point of bringing it out in front of the public. So the Senate has agreed to all the spending issues that are on this conference committee that's before us right now, and that's not enough. Is that what I heard? I'm just asking.
Representative.
Yeah, I think there is confusion. These items, with the items that we agreed with the House, that would be a deal. I'm not going back on my word. The bill that passed the House, which is a compromise, I would not go back on my word. Representative Thompson and I have both said that. That was our word. Our word is our bond. That was a deal. But if it's changed, which right now it seems like it's going to be, that's the difficulty. And I think all of us have to have some clarification on what happens if we vote on these things that we agreed on. Does that bind us on the other thing that we're in disagreement on? And so I think that's the question that Reverend Thompson and I had.
Here's what's going to go on. We're going to call right now. These are the items that we're talking about. What happened in the past, any so-called deals, that was done. That was either voted on, yes or no. Just like legislation that we've done in the past. This is a different committee. So that's the way I'm looking at it. This is what we've got in front of us, whether we accept different portions of this or not accept different portions of this, of what was either offered or not offered. Those are all open for discussion. This is a new conference committee. You know, anything that was in the past, again, was either voted on in the past, that's gone. We're starting over again with the items in front of us for discussion. So with that, what I'd like to talk about is the education funding. It was important that we, I wanted to focus this on the education funding. I know it's important to many Alaskans. We've heard that in a lot of public testimony. There was compromise, I feel, from the Senate. If my understanding is correct, the money that was inside $16.5 million for the base student allocation, I think, was the one-time funds prior. Now it's embedded. The offer was to put this into the BSA, so it's embedded. It will be there. The other money, the $15 million, we heard discussion, and last week I had other members from the minority say, well, can we put this other $15 million towards education funding outside the formula? It was my understanding that we could. There was others who felt that they didn't realize that they could pull it outside the formula. I want to make it very clear that they can. It's up to the minority members to decide where they want to put that $15 million. Only because it's been mentioned, and I'm not going to go spend much time on it, but it was mentioned that the oil credits are due now and it's an overpayment. Those are payments that are due to the state. This was an offer that was put forward in good faith. We'll continue to try and work through this. But what we have in front of us is the motion sheets here. Either what we sheets, any one of these items can either be accepted or denied. It's a different day, it's a different piece of legislation, it's a different committee that's working on this. And we'll continue to discuss these. So what we'd like to do right now is I'm going to recess conference committee, call the chair. So I hope that after this recess, parties can be able to get together and support this motion. So with that, the conference committee is Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, on a personal note, I know that even though members serve in the Anchorage, not getting to see their family, and I know that those that are in Anchorage are happy to be home so that they sleep in their bed at night, but I just want to do it on a personal level. Thank all of the members of the legislature who are struggling to reach a compromise, and I stand ready to continue help to do that. But I did want to shout out a happy birthday to my sister and his birthday, and his family is not here. And so this is his
this is Senator Kelly's legislative family, and whether we're working on the same piece of paper all the time, regardless, I'd like to wish him a happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator McKinnon. As you mentioned, you know, members of the legislature, many of us miss anniversaries, our kids graduating schools, family members' birthdays. We have issues. There's many members of this legislative body who have members of their family who are not healthy and have the medical problems, and they spend their time commuted here to try and do the state's work. You know, when we hear a lot of allocations, you read the comments in the paper about we need to get you work done, believe me, there's a lot of work that's going on right now, and there's a lot of committed people dealing with trying to deal with the deficit that this state is facing.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to say that it is not about me. It is not about me, but it's kind of representative of what everybody's going through. I haven't slept in my own. I've slept in my own bed 5 days since January 7th.
and that's
okay. That's what we signed up for.
Quite frankly, where most of us are at, and have had 4 or 5 days, that's personal days off since January 10th. And it's, I think that's reflective to most of us here.
In that vein, Mr. Chair, after
Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, you're recessing to the call of the chair. We have a legal opinion from the state legal department that says I can attend these meetings telephonically. I can vote on individual items telephonically. I have to be here for the final vote on the final report from this committee. I have to be here to sign it. But I am on a 1 o'clock flight this afternoon. My 4-year-old has his first soccer game. I haven't seen him in 4 weeks. So I am going to fly home today, and please call me because I will attend telephonically and fly back down when necessary. But I just want to point that out, that it is a legal opinion that I can do that.
Thank you, Representative Thompson. And I Representative Thompson let me know that earlier, and I suggested that maybe when he goes to pick his son up at daycare today that he hasn't seen in over a month. I suspect his son will be pretty surprised. Thank you, Representative Thompson.
Just briefly.
Sure.
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Just saying that we've got disagreements on the budget. I want to work these through as quick as we can. No sense coming to the same deal 30 days from now that we can come to in 2 days or 1 day. But the public might not know from the dispute we have at this table that the six of us like each other. And so I'm happy to wish the co-chair a happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I think just like the 700,000 Alaskans who have family issues that they have to battle every day, and there are members of the legislature who have family members in the hospital on both sides of the aisle, and my heart goes out to them. Thank you. And to the 700,000 Alaskans who...
Senator Wilson.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chairman. First of all, I want to extend my sympathy to you, the family. The question that I have, just so it's clear in my mind, this is $50 million that's with an element of minority discretion to where it ends up. I'm assuming that includes the Senate minority as well. Is that correct?
I don't have an answer for you now, but I think we could probably work something out somewhere.
Thank you very much.
We'll try and make sure you have a voice, so I suggest you talk to Representative Gere and try and work it out. Okay, with that, we'll call for recess, Chair.